quiet for now weather-wise, but it could be a bumpy night, severe weather possible, and we'll keep an eye on that. The main threat in these parts appears to be very strong winds, potentially straight-line winds out west. Tornadoes, large hail are possible at the moment. We don't have any watches or warnings. At the moment, though, we have some garden variety showers and thunderstorms moving in to the Twin Cities area. And the radar shows that coming in really right in on Highway 12 from the Wilmer area right toward the city. So it could be raining where you are, maybe a shower, maybe a thunderstorm. But at the moment, no watches or warnings. There are scattered thunderstorms as well. Traveling along the Minnesota River in the New Ulm area down toward Mankato, St. Peter. And once again, all of these are tracking toward the east at the moment. But the good news, no severe weather at the moment. It could be a bumpy night, though. However, right now, let's get an update on the outdoors. Steve Carney joins us. Steve, how you been?
Fabulous, Steve. Good afternoon. Fishing is great. My beautiful wife, Joyce, tagged an 8-pound walleye this morning. Ooh. And I had some people on crappies yesterday. It's really going well right now. It's kind of weird. You know, it's been very warm, but that water temperature is still in the 60s. It's just a strange phenomenon. It's just been kind of lagging, and I think that's why the fishing has been so good. It's not, you know, too hot. The water temperature is, you know, a little bit less than it should be at this time of the year, but I think that's why the fishing is really good. And these walleyes and crappies are still shoreline related. This is the weirdest thing. Usually they're moving out to mid-lake structure by now, but they're still along shorelines, just like opening day. And I think that's because of the lagging water temperatures. They're still relating to deep break lines close to shore with some weeds. So fishing's great, man. It's even with the little weather hiccups we've had with the storms, it's still going well.
8-pound walleye, that is a very nice fish.
We actually had a double, and it was kind of cool because her line was wrapped around my landing net as I was bringing it up, but we pulled it off. But it was really a nice morning. You know, we had good overcast, and now kind of making the switch to leeches and crawlers now and abandoning minnows, and leeches worked very well this morning. And that's very typical when you get into July. It's a leech and crawler kind of thing. Using a live bait rig with a really small bullet weight on it so you can kind of pull it through the weeds. And that pattern will probably hold up for quite some time. I was just really surprised those big walleyes were in that shallow. But again, when you get overcast, not a lot of boat traffic. I think people, recreational people, I think are saving it up for the 4th of July. It was pretty quiet this morning for a Saturday.
Yeah, and we had bumpy weather. It looks like we're going to have another front move through overnight tonight. We all know that could have certainly an impact on the bite, but as you pointed out, if you can get out there, they're jumping into the boat almost.
Well, the early morning, Steve, that's really the time to be out there. I'm out there, at, you know, when the sun comes up, and that best fishing is right till about 10:30, 11 o'clock, and then that sun is straight up, and things definitely die off, and then they start again later in the day. But I highly recommend, you know, with this 4th of July thing coming up, get out there super early and try to get out there before the water skiers and the jet skiers, because it's going to be a crazy, you know, week. They're going to probably take 4 days off, and it's going to be, you know, fairly nuts everywhere. So make sure you get out really, really early and then get off fairly early, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, and Steve, you talk early. What about late as well? Or, you know, when you're out around sundown, sometimes you see people go out when things calm down, and is there any action out there later?
Well, you know, everybody is, you know, cruising around on pontoon boats at night. Yeah, and, right. You know, creating a little bit of, you know, wave action. And, you know, mornings are still better. You know, people don't really get up until 10:30, 11:30, and then they hit the water, you know, doing the water skiing and everything. So early morning, I'd highly recommend it. Evening, probably not during the 4th of July, you know, 4-day weekend. I would just stick to mornings, but the fishing is definitely, you know, worth going after right now. It's the weeds are coming up pretty good. A lot of the weed lines now are extending out to 16, 17, 18 feet because of the weed growth. So you might have to move out a little bit deeper, but the fish we caught this morning were 13, 14 feet. Again, just like opening day, they're still in these same shoreline areas, no matter what lake you're on, and the crappies are still shallow. So, you know, it just I've never seen 60s, you know, water temperature this long before. It's been like 4 weeks, and it's just kind of languished in that mid to upper 60s. And it's good for fishing, but probably not very good for swimming, but good for fishing.
Yeah, and Steve, you brought up something on a show, I think it was a week ago, about that strategy. Start with the leech, then move on to the crawlers. Tell us a little bit more about that, because that really piqued my interest on why you go that route.
Well, you know, a lot of our lakes have a lot of perch and bluegills in them, and they tend to have a tendency to peck those crawlers, you know, from behind and, you know, rip them off your hook, and that's really frustrating. But a leech is very hardy. They can beat on the leech all they want, and they won't take it off the hook. So when I, you know, pop a walleye with a leech, then I will switch to a crawler because I know there won't be any perch in that area. And a crawler is far superior to a leech. They just love that. But you got to make sure you don't have any bait fish around there on your crawler. Also, put a little air in it. You know, we've talked about that before. Take a little hypodermic needle, and I use a dental syringe, and give it a little shot of air, both the leech and the crawler, and get that up a couple feet off the bottom, and then you get off the debris, and you don't pick up any weeds, and it's nice and high and very visible, and that's what we did this morning. Just blew it up, got it up nice and high, so that's a good tip. You just got to find yourself a nice dental syringe with a tiny little needle in it, and just give it a little shot of air, and that makes a big difference.
Well, Steve, always good to visit with you. Where are you going to be in the coming week?
You know, Steve, I don't know. I'm going to be, you know, hitting lakes country. I've got people this week, and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing and hope the bite continues and we don't get any more nasty weather to change things. And even though we've been getting thunderstorms and wind switches, the fishing is still good. So I'm hoping it maybe stabilizes a little bit and we'll see. Those water temperatures are definitely going to climb up this week, and, you know, that might change things.
All right, Steve, always good. We'll do it again in 1 week.
Sounds great. Have a great weekend.
Steve Kearney joining us, Steve Kearney Outdoors, and tomorrow we believe we have an abbreviated show with Rob Drews, signed from the Outdoor News. And Rob, typically on the air between 5 and 6, but we have our pregame lineup card at 5:30, first pitch after 6. It should be a pretty interesting series finale between the Twins and the Tigers. And this one is going to be on Sunday night baseball. Paddock against Scooble tomorrow night at 6:10 our time. Twins and Tigers in the rubber game of the three-game series. Tigers won it today, 10-5. Another tough outing for Bailey Ober. Twins, of course, won the series opener on Friday night, 4-1 at Comerica Park, and that was a terrific start for David Fest and a really good ball game for the Twins. But the Tigers had him today, 10-5, the final in Detroit. It is 4-15. The Lynx found a way to get it done in Atlanta last night. Maybe the ugliest floor I've ever seen in the history of hoops in Atlanta last night. It was ridiculously distracting on television. Maybe it looks cool in person, but it was really bad. Remember the floor at the Barn a couple of years ago? Maybe it looked cool when you were at Williams Arena, but it was really hard to figure out what was going on television. And of course they finally put a new paint job on the floor at the Barn. This one in Atlanta was terrible last night. So we'll talk Lynx, we'll talk Loons. They're in New York to play the Red Bulls. Loons having a pretty good year. All of that on the way here at News Talk 830 WCCO. Lynx won. They beat Atlanta. They found a way. They finished the third strong, and then in the fourth they found a way to get it to overtime on the road in Atlanta, and they ultimately get it done. The one thing I couldn't get over, catching the game on television, and it was one of the games on ION It wasn't on FanDuel. It was on Ion. Is the floor in Atlanta? Come on.
I gotta look this up. I gotta see.
It's hardwood. You gotta look it up, Lindsay. It is the most ridiculous floor. Now I know during that early season NBA tournament, they do all these, you know, quirky floor designs and paint jobs.
Pay respect to women's sports. Is that at the middle of it?
Well, it looked
it's
to
black,
me
right?
like it was. Yeah, it's like a black floor.
Right. I love the center court text. Great. And then you said that they were wearing darker uniforms as well.
Yeah.
That's not going to work, Steve.
No.
That's not going to work for me. It's probably not going to work for people who live with colorblindness. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, it just didn't show up. And maybe in the building, it looked like they had a really good crowd in Atlanta.
Good.
Look cool there, but on television. And I don't know about you if you remember seeing this. And there was a year or two, and it goes back a year or two, that they had done a new floor or sanded it down and put a new finish on the floor at Williams Arena. And it looked horrible on television. It was like there's something
hideous
wrong with my TV. And once again, I know this is radio, but if you watched Golden Gopher women's or men's hoops, and this goes back it wasn't a season ago, it was the season before, they had that really light-colored floor, and it didn't translate on TV. And I didn't get to Williams Arena to see the men or the women play. And if I remember, during the girls' state tournament, I was doing games at Maturi Pavilion. I didn't even do any games at the barn during the state tournament in that era. Anyway, it looked horrible on television, and this is the same deal with the floor in Atlanta. And considering how important is television to all of these sports, you think they would bring in a TV camera while they're figuring out what this paint scheme's going to look like. How's this going to translate to television?
Yeah, Steve, now, they did it solely for the Instagram photo. It does not look good with truly professional cameras.
No, it really doesn't.
It's like a matte black, too. It would have to be matte, because if it was any shinier, you'd probably blind yourself.
Yeah, it was such a strange look last night. Now, to each their own, whatever they wanted. I mean, I just tuned in and ended up watching the game. And once again, the Lynx found a way. And by the way, they get Connecticut at home on Sunday night. And that'll be a 6 o'clock start at Target Center. And we'll talk more about the Lynx and the Timberwolves and the new owners and the way forward and the potential for a new building with Chris Hine coming up following the news at 5 o'clock. Chris, of course, writes for the Star Tribune and has a brand new book about Ant out right now. But it really was. And I will say this about the Lynx, and I've watched a lot of hoops, and I know she's getting attention. In my opinion, she still doesn't get enough attention for how good and how steady and how professional, and that is Nafisa Collier. You know, 26 points, 6 assists, 7 rebounds coming off. There was even a little doubt that she was going to play. She's just so cool.
It's such a casual stat line.
I know.
Those are Asia Wilson numbers.
Yeah, I mean, she was coming off a back injury, and 26-7-6, and I'm probably not 100%. Are you serious? And what I love about her is she is so cool. You know, where this league has gotten feisty, and I think that's fine.
Love it.
There's a lot of games where there's pushing and there's shoving and bad blood. And a lot of it doesn't have to do with Caitlin Clark. I know this is news to some, that night in and night out in the WNBA, they battle.
Mm-hmm.
And, but MVP seems above the fray, which I think is great. You know, where it's kind of, and don't get me wrong, she will mix it up and stick up for her teammates and so on and so forth. But I'm just, she is next level, and the Lynx are so lucky to have her. It's kind of like Maya Moore before she stepped away and then ultimately retired.
In terms of her impact on the team?
Impact on the team and the way she handles herself is just...
It's a hell of a comp.
Immensely impressive. And like I say, I'm a huge fan. I'm not a jersey buying, you know, I've never in my life worn, you know, even when I was a kid, didn't have like a Carew jersey, even though I loved Rod Carew and admired Rod Carew, and before that Harmon Killebrew, and then later Kirby Puckett. But I was never one to like buy a jersey and wear a jersey. And if I was going to buy a WNBA jersey, it would be Collier. I'm a huge fan and very lucky to have her, and a reason why they're among the favorites. But a big win over Atlanta. I was impressed. 96-92 the final. And once again, the Lynx get Connecticut tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, Target Center. And your Lynx 13-2. Out of the gate this year. And the Loons are in New York. They play the Red Bulls tonight. I want to give them a little bit of love. And the Loons, they're having a nice year. They're having a solid year. And I did see a piece that there's a little concern that maybe there's not quite the buzz at Allianz Field on the Midway in St. Paul that there once was. And I think this league is at a point where There's enough turnover, and there's a lot of clubs, and players come and go, that maybe that's part of the difficulty, where you don't know a lot of these players. Where I think, for instance, the WNBA, and certainly Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, certainly. There's a lot of attention on these players as they're climbing the ladder, especially hoops, especially football. You get to know them in college. Soccer, for the most part, a lot of unknowns. And I wonder if the casual fans have stepped away a little bit over at Allianz, but they are having a solid year. And once again, they get the Red Bulls tonight. And if you're so inclined, it is on Apple TV, of course. It is 4:29. Quick break. We'll have an update on the weather. It could get bumpy overnight in these parts. Could be a bit stormy on Sunday. We'll have all of that info for you. And then we're going to talk a little hockey. Yes, hockey in late June, the NHL entry draft. Some Minnesota kids got picked up. What are the Wild doing? Jess Myers from the Pioneer Press. We'll have all that info for us here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. The NHL entry draft is underway, and we haven't talked to him in a while. And hopefully he's spent some quality time on the water. And that is Jez Myers from the Pioneer Press. He covers Wild all season long. Jez, how you been?
I've been great. Wound up sitting, you know, in a hockey locker room a lot of the last 2 days. Last night was tough, I'll admit it. About 4.5 hours sitting there waiting for maybe the Wild were going to move into the first round, but nah, didn't happen. So we watched the first round and you know, saw a couple of Minnesotans get picked and you know, all of that kind of good stuff. But, you know, the Minnesota Wild didn't have a first-round draft pick, and they used their first-round pick last November. They went out and got David Yurecek, who's a former, you know, top 10 pick on defense. He had been in Columbus. Hasn't really panned out yet, but Bill Guerin and his staff are still very confident that this guy is going to become a top-end NHL defenseman. Big kid, a lot of skill, doesn't quite have the skating ability to be an everyday guy quite yet. But like I said, they're confident in him. He played 6 games with the Wild last year. So when we asked Bill Guerin about not having a first-round pick, he says, we feel like we already picked our first-round guy in getting David Yurecek. Wow. So for whatever reason, Friday night was a long night for Wild fans, you know, waiting for maybe something to happen, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah, let's talk about moves have been made. Bill Guerin, even though it didn't have a first rounder, other moves have been made by the club.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this was a weird kind of hybrid draft thing that they tried this year where, you know, back in the pandemic, they did everything via Zoom, and some people kind of liked that, and some people still wanted to be in person. Well, this year, you know, normally you go to one arena, and every team in the NHL is there, and the players get called up on stage and all of that. They did this hybrid weird thing this year where a lot of the top players, like 100 of the top players, were in Los Angeles, downtown Los Angeles at a theater, and they got their name called there, and they went up on stage, but all 32 teams were in their home bases, including, and I thought this was just weird, the Los Angeles Kings, whose home base is literally across the street from this theater in Los Angeles where they were, and still the guys are talking to their picks on Zoom and all of that. Talking to Bill Guerin, talking to some others, they didn't really like it. You know, you lose the ability to just get up and walk over to another table and talk to another general manager and propose a trade and you know, get some ideas out there, you know, tap them on the shoulder, all that. So I don't know if this is going to be the format long term, but the NHL tried it. I don't know if it worked. I don't know if we're going to go back to a more traditional draft next year or what we're going to see. But that really, I think, inhibited some of the trade making that you normally see during the draft, this weird decentralized hybrid kind of thing.
Yeah, and the reviews for what happened in Vegas at the Sphere were, like, it was great. Everybody loved it. I had a great time.
Well, other than the fact that it's approximately, like, 348 degrees in Las Vegas at this time of year.
There you go.
You know, Sphere, though, looks, I haven't been inside it yet, but it looks like an amazing place. And, yeah, you're right. They had a really cool draft last year. You know, I've been to the NHL draft when it was here in the Twin Cities. You know, it is kind of a cool scene where you have all 32 teams there and all that. Sorry, I got some air traffic here. I don't know. I'm on a runway suddenly, but anyway, sorry about that. I think, hey, maybe go back to their traditional thing. And Bill Guerin had a good point, though. He said, it's not about us. It's not about the media. It's about the kids who are being drafted. You know, it's about them having that experience of hearing their name called and having their jersey and seeing their parents there and all of that. So he's absolutely right. I mean, that's the bottom line. Make it a cool experience for the draftees.
Yeah, for sure. And there's no doubt it is a showcase, and a lot of these kids, especially, you know, in the early first round, for all the clubs that have these picks, you know, top 10 picks, these guys, that has to work. I mean, you know, if you don't hit on one of those top picks, you know, that could be big trouble for the GM and the people in charge.
Absolutely. You know, it's, you know, talking to Bill Guerin, he said, he admitted, you know, the draft and free agency can be a time of some pretty big mistakes, you know, and you've got to have a good scouting staff, and he's pretty confident in his group, and you've got to have, you know, a good pro scouting staff who knows what's out there as far as free agency, and that's coming up just, you know, on Tuesday here. Now, with the vibe I'm getting from Bill Guerin, as we look at Tuesday, we look at free agency, you know, there's this idea that all of a sudden all of that dead cap money from Parisian Suter, all of that's gone. And the Wild suddenly have money to spend, and they're going to go out and go crazy on day one in free agency. The talk we're getting from Bill Guerin more recently is be patient. You know, don't get too excited. Don't expect us to, the term he keeps using is, you don't want to blow your brains out on day one, you know, and spend all your money just because you have money. They want to be strategic in a couple ways. Number one, the big priority is you got to re-sign Kirill Kaprizov. He is eligible to be, you know, can negotiate with him exclusively as of Tuesday. They've got a year where they're the only team basically that can talk to him. That's number one. Craig Leopold, their owner, made it very clear almost a year ago. He said, nobody's going to offer him more money. Nobody's going to offer him more years than we're going to do. So they want to wrap him up long term. Now, that doesn't have to be done on July 1st, but that's something that they want to do long term. They want to get him wrapped up. Let's face it, he's the greatest player in Wild history, even with the small sample size we've seen. If this team is going to win a Stanley Cup in the next 5 to 10 years, this is going to be the anchor of it. So that's priority one. Then you need to look at some pieces. You know, do you want to add a forward? Do you want to add a defenseman here and there? Bill Guerin said they're going to add a goaltender. That's That's definite. Now I'm not thinking they're going to make a huge splash and get a big expensive name, that kind of goaltender. But they do want to add some depth there, and then everybody wants scoring. And the salary cap is going up now, so weirdly every team has money to spend, which hasn't always been the case in the past.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of those moves. Some names that are familiar to Wild fans have moved on, Jess.
Yeah, yesterday they traded away Freddie Gaudreau, kind of a depth forward, good middle six kind of forward, and a great guy, and he said it was a bit of a shock to him, in some reports I saw they had just built a house in Edina, that kind of thing. But he got moved to Seattle, and that was primarily a salary cap move. That frees up $2 million that they can go spend elsewhere, so that was the move there. They got rid of Declan Chisholm today. He's been a kind of serviceable sixth or seventh defenseman for this team for the last 2 years after being picked up on waivers. He got moved to Washington today. So, you look at this team, and it's going to be a young team next year. They're looking at five, maybe, as many as five rookies being in the lineup on day one, which is, it's going to be young, it's going to be different, but they really like the makeup they've got and their options on the blue line. Even with, going and drafting a young defenseman today that we probably won't see for a couple of years.
Yeah, Jonas Brodino, so we learned, had surgery and may miss the start of the season. And that kind of stands out. You would think, oh, boy, you'd get the surgery done as soon as the season ends and be ready to go by camp. But this is something that popped up during off-season training.
Yes, and that's just, shows the seriousness of the injury and the fact that you get the surgery done as soon as you can and you still might not be ready come training camp in September. But, again, they like the depth they have there. I would not be surprised in free agency to see them go out and grab a more veteran defenseman. But you look at, Zeev Bouyam and what he did last year in the playoffs, and they think they can slot him into a spot among the top six defensemen with the Wild. You look at, we mentioned David Juracek. They're very confident that he's ready to play some bigger minutes and take on a bigger role at the NHL level. And then you have stalwarts, like we mentioned, Jonas Brodin, who's going to be coming back. You've got Jared Spurgeon. You've got, Brock Faber, who's going to start that big 8-year contract that he signed. That's going to start this year. So those are going to be the mainstays, obviously, of the back end for this team.
Jess Myers joining us on the Jen Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. The NFL or the NHL entry draft continuing, and you mentioned local players and players with Minnesota ties, Minnesota born. One that stood out to me. I've seen him play football. I've seen him play hockey. He is a tremendous all around athlete. The kid from Edina, Mason West, was selected in the first round, and he is going to play his college hockey at Michigan State. I know you had reported that earlier as well, Jess. He is quite a talent.
One of those kids that, it may have almost cost him a little bit of draft capital. He may have sunk a little bit in the draft just because he's so good at football. I mean, he's going to be the starting quarterback for Edina next year on the football field. And he said he's going to play hockey in the USHL. He wants to go to Fargo. He's going to do that as soon as football season's over. But he's made it clear, hey, I'm a senior in high school. It's my last chance to play under the Friday Night Lights. I'm going to go do that with my buddies before I take off and pursue hockey. Now, he has insisted to everyone that he's going to be a hockey player primarily. He's accepted, a spot at Michigan State. He wants to play college hockey at Michigan State, but I think the fact that he's so good at football may have scared a couple of teams off, and yet he did go in the first round, so that was a good thing. And by the way, there was some confusion last night when it was announced that he was the first round pick. ESPN announced that he was the first ever first rounder out of Edina, and John Buchagross, even on the air, admitted, I'm not sure that's right, but they handed me this card, I'm going to read it, and he read it out loud that, this is the first player from Edina. Turns out that's not true. They've had two more that I could find. Kiefer Bellows, who went, maybe 10 years ago.
Sure.
And then Joe Finley, good-sized player that played at North Dakota. He went, I want to say, right around 2006 or 2007. So Edina, for all its hockey tradition, first-rounders have been rare, but congratulations to Mason West and well-deserving of being a first-round pick.
And I want to get a shout-out to a kid from my backyard, Champlain Park goal-scoring machine, Brett Solomon. Selected 109th overall by the Red Wings in the fourth round. let's play hockey out of Poe Solomon, scored 72 goals in his final two seasons with the Rebels and had 4 goals in 8 games in the USHL with Sioux Falls. So congrats to Brent Solomon. By the way, a future Badger as well.
You want to feel old, by the way, Steve? You want to feel like a gray old man?
Yeah,
Blake Vanek out of Stillwater, key winger on Stillwater's run to the state championship game last year. He got drafted today. I want to say he went like 93rd overall. Ottawa picked him up. Blake Vanek is the son of Thomas Vanek, you know, who it seems like not too many years ago we were talking about his great freshman year for the Gophers. Thomas Vanek, you know, went on to have a fantastic NHL career. Now he's coaching in Stillwater. He's a full-time hockey dad. Well, his son is an NHL draft pick now. So, man, if you want to feel like you're getting a little long in the tooth, there's one for you.
Yeah, that is for sure. Well, Jazz, always good to visit with you. Thanks for the update.
Always great to talk hockey, Steve. Have a great night.
All right, there he is, Jazz Myers from the Pioneer Press, joining us here on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Coming up following the news and weather at 5, Chris Hine. Lots of news around the Timberwolves, the draft in the rearview mirror. Nas locked in long-term, great news. And the new owners take over. All of that with Chris Hine following the news and weather here on CCO. Twins fall earlier to the Tigers. This one got away from Bailey Ober. And another upstart for Bailey Ober. And the Tigers win it 10-5. So the rubber game of the three-game series coming up. And this is a rare Sunday night appearance for the Twins. Chris Paddock, Tarek Skubal. And I have to admit, Paddock has been a surprise this year for the Twins. And then Skubal might be the best starter in the game. There's others in that category, but I'm looking forward to it. And this would be a phenomenal win for the Twins tomorrow night. And you got something out of Correa, and certainly Byron Buxton playing well. Today, they just didn't get enough pitching to get it done in Detroit. And that's been a theme in June. And we don't have any news, per se, on what they might do with Bailey Ober. At this point, we would assume that Ober would take his next turn. We haven't heard of any injuries. They've been working hard. I know they talked about it on the broadcast today in great detail on what they're trying to do to get Bailey Ober back on track. But it was another tough one. 14 home runs surrendered in June. So hopefully he can certainly get it right. But the Twins will play tomorrow night. But our sports coverage starts tomorrow morning at 10. Corzo on a Sunday up until noon. And then we'll come back at 5:30 with the lineup card. First pitch at 6:10. Paddock against Skubal tomorrow night here on the home of the Twins. And then they head for Miami and that quirky little dome stadium down in Miami. They're having a hard time drawing. The stadium looks kind of cool. But the Marlins, not competitive. We've got to run the news. An update on that weather. It could be a bumpy night. Severe weather possible later. We'll have details in a moment. There has been a lot going on with the Minnesota Timberwolves. And to sort all of that out, or help us anyway, Chris Hine, who covers the team for the Star Tribune, good enough to join us. And, Chris, let's start with the big story, and fans have got to be thrilled. Nas Reed is locked in. The fans love this guy.
They do. They do. And he will be here for at least the next 4 years, it's looking like. 5-year deal with a player option on that fifth year worth up to $125 million. You know, I think for the last year, fans were worried about that player option he turned down here for $15 million. Was he going to opt out? You know, if he opted out, what did it mean? But quite honestly, all along, the Wolves have always thought highly of Nas Reed. Tim Connolly has as well. And when they made the trade to, get Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo in here for Karl-Anthony Towns, with that, maintain some financial flexibility over the long term and getting off of Towns' Supermax deal. That, along with Rudy Gobert tearing up his player option at the beginning of the season and taking a less money next year than he would have made in 25-26, made it possible for the Wolves to bring back Naz Reid at a contract that's going to start somewhere in the low to mid-20s. You're not quite sure exactly where just yet. But all these things that happened over the last year plus made it possible for the Wolves to bring back Naz Reid for the long term here.
Yeah, and the thing about Naz is he does give the Timberwolves a very solid player in what he can do on the floor, but also there is that fan component, and that isn't lost on me, because you think of popular athletes in this town over the years. I mean, he is right at the top of the list. I mean, this guy resonates with fans, and I would assume the new owners wanted to win some points as well on that front. I know, number one, it's a basketball decision, but I think his popularity has got to be a part of it.
Yeah, I think it is. I don't think it can be ignored, for sure. It is a basketball decision first and foremost, yeah. But I think you're a little more willing to, you know, make sure that Naz is taken care of and that, you know, he's signed for the long term. I think it's also, you know, for some of his teammates like Jaden McDaniels and Anthony Edwards, you know, these guys have been joined at the hip essentially since they came into the league. So, you know, having these three guys who are friends and have been teammates for, you know, 5 years now, here for the long term, I think that was also important to have that kind of accountability or have that kind of continuity, excuse me, not accountability, but have that kind of continuity with these three young guys as your main core for the next, you know, half decade.
Yeah, because there figures to be changes around that core. You've got Naz Reid, you got Anthony Edwards, you mentioned Jaden McDaniels, but, you know, beyond that, in a cap league, and there's severe penalties and luxury taxes, etc., for exceeding that cap, you know, that is a big deal to have that core group, because the parts around it certainly are going to change.
Absolutely, and yeah, I think you're going to see that, you know, in coming years as Rudy Gobert ages, Mike Conley's entering the last year of his deal. We'll see what happens here with Julius Randle over the next 48 to 72 hours. But, yeah, to have these three guys locked in long-term as, you know, startable pieces, that's something that not a lot of teams can boast about. And, you know, you look at the number on Naz's contract, some people think it's, you know, maybe a slight overpay. But quite honestly, you know, low 20s to mid-20s on a contract as the salary cap numbers keep jumping up is going to look more like a bargain, I feel like, especially in like 3 to 4 years than it does right now. So I think people need to maybe readjust some of their thinking when it comes to when they see some of these numbers. NBA salaries are relative. They're relative to the salary cap. They are not, you know, in a vacuum, like just, oh, look at, he's making $22 million versus $15 million. You know, something like that from a few years ago. Like, these numbers are jumping up. The salary cap is jumping up quickly. So having somebody in the low to mid-20s is maybe similar to having somebody in, like, the high teens, you know, a few years ago, because the salary cap is jumping up pretty quickly.
It is good to be a solid NBA player. There is no doubt about that. Financially, it's certainly 100%. Good news. There's a lot going on around the team. Let's get your thoughts on the draft. And I know typically teams in the Timberwolves situation where they have generally an established roster, it's going to be hard to crack the rotation for any of the new guys coming in.
It will be, yeah. I think the draft this past week, developmental projects, Yoan Berenguer, the French big man who they selected at 17 overall, that's going to likely be a developmental year or two even for him, you know, getting reps in Iowa, because he, you know, hadn't seriously played basketball until 2021. So he's just going to need a lot of reps, a lot of seasoning in the G League, in Iowa, you know, that seems like it's going to be the play. He'll be around the team for sure. But, yeah, and I think, you know, Rocco Zagarski, same thing. They're going to need some reps. They're going to need development. So I wouldn't be looking for these draft picks to contribute right away, but I think they're just, you know, adding to the depth at center, you know, as you stare down, you know, the end of Rudy Gobert's career and however long that's going to take. But Rudy's going to be, I think, 32, 33 this coming season. So you have to make a plan for what's going to happen at center down the road, and I think that's what this draft was about.
Yeah, and you brought up Julius Randle. What are your thoughts at this moment? I mean, what are the scenarios, if you will?
Yeah, I think the team wants to get something done. I think, you know, they're going to try to get that going here. We'll see. These things are always delicate and tricky. He can opt in to the last year of his deal at $31 million. So what does a new deal look like? Does he opt in and sign a new deal on top of that? Does he tear up this deal and, you know, just sign a flat-out extension right away? So there's a number of options on the table here. But the one thing I can say is the team wants to have him around, and they are working on something to try to make sure he's here.
So the feeling is at this moment for the Timberwolves going forward, this club could look very similar when they open camp this fall.
It can, yeah, and I think that's one thing you have to prepare for is that, yeah, this you know, I think the only player who, if I had to categorize him as not likely to be back just based on how things are shaping up, is probably Nikhil Alexander-Walker. But beyond that, if they can bring back Julius Randle, and yeah, I think at that point they're going to be so hard-pressed up against the second apron, it's going to be very hard for them to make any other really significant additions to the roster, because they want to stay under the second apron, because if they go above it, that means they're subject to all these roster-building penalties that come with that. So Tim Connelly said as much the other night that they want to stay below the second apron. So if they can bring Julius back at around $30, $31 million, Nas's new deal, it just doesn't leave them a lot of wiggle room to go out and make a big splash of free agency. But, you know, listen, we were at this point last year with the Wolves. They didn't really make many moves in free agency. And then what happened 2 days before training camp? They traded Karl Anthony Towns. So you never know. Like, just because it may look relatively the same on July 1st or 2nd, doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be the same throughout the course of the season.
Chris Hine joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, and it is done. Glenn Taylor is no longer an owner. It is Mark Lori. It is Alex Rodriguez in charge. And when that happened, when the Board of Governors approved it, there was a media talk about them wanting a new building. And even Glenn Taylor on his way out the door said, yeah, you know, at some point Target Center is going to need to be replaced. And now the work begins. It will take time to put something together, whether it's a new building downtown, near downtown, or somewhere else. This doesn't happen overnight.
It doesn't. It's going to be multi-year process here, and yeah, I think the work is just going to be beginning soon here. So, you know, we're staring at a long road ahead here to figure out, first of all, where it's going to happen, what it's going to look like, how much it's going to cost. Mark Lori told me the other day that the plan is to have it all privately funded. I know that is a big sticking point for a lot of people. They do not want to publicly fund an arena, understandably so. It's been a bad track record over the last 2 to 3 decades of cities publicly funding arenas and stadiums. So I think they're aware of that, and they at least on the record have said that they are prepared to privately fund whatever they're getting ready to build. So we will see how this process plays out. Word is there's a couple locations downtown that might suit what they're looking for. We'll see if they think that as well. I just a lot right now that's in the air as to what might happen with that.
Yeah, very early in the process. And I think to complicate that is what the Wild are looking for over in St. Paul. They want to remodel not only of their building, but the entire complex, including River Center, a parking ramp. There's a lot of money on the table there as well. So get ready for more stadium and arena debates. What we do know is that it is safe to say for the next few seasons at least, they will be a target center in downtown Minneapolis. We can be assured of that.
Yeah, that's definitely the plan here. I don't see that changing anytime soon. But, yeah, right now, you know, it's all about figuring out where that location is going to be. And, you know, and then Mark and Alex basically selling their vision to, you know, whether it's local governments, fan bases, and kind of really putting the pitch behind getting everybody involved and excited about it, even if there isn't going to be, you know, the sort of public money going behind it. It's still going to be a major shift for the franchise, a major shift for downtown Minneapolis. Even, you know, even if it's just the Wolves leaving Target Center and going somewhere else, it's still going to be a huge loss for downtown if that happens and they don't relocate downtown. We'll see what happens. There's going to be so much, and you know, we'll be all over it at the Star Tribune, that's for sure. Not just me, but probably a lot of other reporters in the mix as well on that story.
And we want to remind you, Chris's brand new book on Anthony Edwards called Ant is available wherever you buy books. And by the way, Chris, congrats on that. I know it was a lot of work, and you're proud of it, and rightfully so.
Yeah, it's been 3 weeks since it's been out. It's been awesome to see the reception, people tweeting me and hitting me up on social media with copies of the book, telling me what their favorite parts were. It's been really cool. Appreciate you letting me always come on and plug it, Steve. Thank you so much for that. Oh. It's been awesome to see it out in the world and see people's reactions to it. It's been very rewarding for sure.
Always good to visit with you, Chris. Thanks.
Yep, thanks, Steve.
There he is, Chris Hine, Star Tribune, covers the Timberwolves. A lot going on there. Huge news, Nas signed, sealed, and delivered. And I think everybody feels good about that. And we'll see about Julius Randle. It sounds like, at the moment anyway, barring a huge trade this summer by Tim Connelly, they may roll it back next season. I don't know if I'm all that opposed to that. It is 5:21. We'll come back, put a bow on it. 5:30, we're out today a little bit earlier with the early Twins game in Detroit here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Twins get beat in Detroit. Bailey Ober roughed up again. Tied a Twins record of 14 homes surrendered in June. Bert Blyleven had the solo mark. Bert, known in his Hall of Fame career for giving up home runs, joked about it on the air as a broadcaster a number of times. Once again, the Twins fall to the Tigers 10-5. Bailey Ober, another tough start. Meanwhile, Twins and Tigers tomorrow night in Detroit. Paddock against Skubal. This should be a dandy. Our pregame show begins at 5:30 with the lineup cards, so an abbreviated outdoor news show with Rob Dreisline tomorrow. And then first pitch after 6 o'clock. Don't forget, sports coverage in the morning with Corzo on a Sunday between 10 and noon. Scott Korzanowski here on News Talk 830-WCCO. And then the Twins back later in the day, and they play on Sunday Night Baseball. Lynx are idle. They beat the Atlanta Dream in OT in Atlanta, and they're right back home. They play Connecticut on Sunday at Target Center, a 6 o'clock start. Connecticut 2-14, Lynx 13-2. And by the way, the Loons, they're in New York tonight on Apple TV. The Loons take on the New York Red Bulls tonight. And if you have Apple TV and the MLS subscription, every now and then I'll catch one of the free games. I haven't paid for MLS. Shame on me. I'm just not adding another subscription.
Steve! You know?
I know.
They warned me about you ahead of the movies back in the day. They called them the piracy, the online pirate. No.
No. They
you're
have
not a pirate?
Free, they have a free game. No, I'm not going to steal content.
Oh, absolutely. You're just a merchant. Okay, you're just not a pirate. You're just a merchant who has a locked drawer in his desk. Okay.
No, I have. I have Apple TV. I just didn't buy the MLS subscription. So when they throw it out there for free, I'll check it out. But I'm not going to pay extra. Nope.
Have you seen Shrinking yet on Apple TV?
I have not.
Oh, that's a show you got to watch, Steve. Anybody should watch that show. Everybody should watch that show.
I've been trying to get caught up on Severance.
Okay.
That kind of freaks me out.
Shrinking is going to get you into a much better place, but it's also going to poke you right in the feels. Like, Severance is kind of dystopian, whereas Shrinking is kind of the human side of what dystopia does.
And then the other show I've been into is The Bear, and it's coming back soon.
Mm-hmm. See, it just dropped. Season 4 is out.
Yeah. So I got to get back into that. I still think the most crazy television I've ever seen is The Bear Christmas show.
100 million percent. I've never been more uncomfortable watching something.
So insane. Our weather could be insane overnight tonight. Be aware, cloudy 84, our dew point at 65. The fuel is there. Slight chance of thunderstorms early tonight. Better chance. Some of those storms could be severe overnight tonight. The biggest concern right now, the potential for straight-line winds here in the metro area and western Wisconsin. So be aware of that. Severe weather possible overnight tonight. And then tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms, 82. Better early in the week. Monday, sun and 80. Tuesday, sun and 83. Wednesday, sun and 85. Better chance of thunderstorms by the 4th and 87. We'll keep you up to date. Big thanks to Lindsey Brown. Big thanks to you for tuning in. Have a great Saturday night here at News Talk 830 WCCO.